and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Skip back up to verse 5, and that's where I want to pay most of our attention. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Can I just talk to you for a few moments from the thought, how you think matters. How you think matters. Can you just look at somebody and tell them that? Just say, how you think matters. Tell somebody else, how you think. It matters. It matters. It matters. It matters. Some of us, if we are real honest, we know that last year we actually struggled with living a lifestyle that honored God, and even caused the devil to flee from us. I found out something, that the enemy will hang around if you are living a life that's not pleasing unto God. He loves cohabitating with people that have lifestyles that dishonor God. He hangs around those places. On the other side, if you got a lifestyle that honors God, he doesn't like staying around those kind of people. Oh, he shows up, but he won't stay long because he knows you're living a life that's honoring God. See, I got Bible for you. When you look at James chapter 4, it says, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll do what? He'll flee. He'll flee. He'll flee. If you don't do any resisting, he will hang around. Some of y'all, you let him hang around far too long last year. And the reason why I need to speak that is because you're having some of the same behaviors this year. And you're wondering why he's always at your door. You're wondering why when you open the door and you walk into your living room or your family room, guess who's there? Yeah, he's there because he's comfortable there. See, if the enemy is comfortable, he stays there. See, you got to create an environment where he's uncomfortable. And the only way you're going to do that is you got to live a life that's pleasing to God. The other thing I want to tell you right here on the onset is, when you fail to live a Christ-like lifestyle, you actually open the door for the devil to influence you to walk according to your carnal mind. Everybody say carnal mind. Carnal mind. I want to just teach you a little bit today. Carnal mind just simply means fleshly. And the Bible is very clear about that carnal mind. It says the carnal mind is death. There's no life when we walk according to the carnal mind. In fact, the Bible goes a little bit deeper in Romans chapter 8. It says to be carnal minded is death. It is actually enmity against God. That just simply means that it is a hostile or hostility towards God. When we walk according to the carnal mind, God says, I look at that as being hostile towards me. Now, most of you would say, I don't want to be hostile towards God. Well, if you fail to walk according to the Spirit of God, then you're walking according to your fleshly mind. That means you're being hostile towards God. I'm not going to get much help right now, but I just want to work this a little bit. Now, the other thing I want to tell you also, if you are going to live a Christ-like lifestyle this year, walk in victory, fulfill the Acts 2 model that I've been teaching about a few weeks ago, evangelize, connect, teach, reproduce, and if you are going to be a father that teaches his family biblical principles, or a mother that teaches her children biblical principles, or a single that finally decides that I'm going to live a lifestyle of purity, then this year, and even in this season of your life, you have to understand that you must allow your mind to be renewed continuously. Continuously. Ain't nothing deep, but this is something that you need. because how I think matters. And one of the things that we have to come into reality is that we got to learn how to keep our minds renewed. You got to learn how to keep your mind renewed. That's why how you think really does matter. Because if you don't go through the process of renewing your mind, there's absolutely no way you can walk in victory with God. The frustrating thing for me is seeing people who want to walk in victory, but they won't change how they're doing business. I found out if you keep doing the same old thing, you're going to keep getting the same results. So if you keep getting the same results and you don't want those results, it stands to reason you need to change what you're doing. And that's why we got to renew our mind. And I want to break that down a little bit and give you a few points on just renewing your mind. But when we go to the text, you go to the text, you look at it. Very simple text. Most of us have heard this before. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, the text doesn't just simply suggest that we are to think like Christ or just, have the mind of Christ. It says that, but it goes deeper than that. It is just not about just having the mind of Christ or thinking like Christ, but it is thinking like Christ, it is talking like Christ, and it is also acting like Christ. And if you really read down to the 11th verse, that's why I read, if you read it in its totality and you read that text in its context, what Apostle Paul is actually talking about, he is talking about believers now following the example of Christ Jesus' humility. And he says, if you are going to be like Christ in his humility, it starts with letting this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In other words, he is really telling the believer that I want you to imitate the life of Christ Jesus, which actually starts first with our thinking. You got to get that in your mind. If you are going to do anything for Christ, it starts with your thinking. If you're going to live a Christ-like lifestyle, it starts with your thinking. If you don't get your thinking right this year, you're going to do the same thing that you did last year. You can have all the New Year's resolutions you want, but if you don't change that old crazy mind of yours, it's only a matter of time until you end up doing the same old thing. Come on, let me talk to you. Because you've been doing it for the last 5 years, you will go into the New Year and say, I'm not going to do that no more. And 6 months later, you're right back in love again. I just put that in there. But the truth of the matter is, you say so many things that you're not going to do. But if you don't train and renew this mind, it's only a matter of time until you're going to repeat those same old bad habits. That's why Paul says, if you're going to be a person of humility, you can't just simply say, I want to walk in humility. You got to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If you could do it on your own, you wouldn't need Christ Jesus. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You pick up the mind of Christ, everything else will follow. When you pick up the mind of Christ, I'm going to say something, and I'm not trying to offend it, but I need to cut a little deep on this. The reason why some of you have such inconsistent lifestyles is because you have such inconsistent thinking patterns. Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do. The reason why your lifestyle is so inconsistent, or you say, well, I'm walking with the Lord and then I don't walk with the Lord. It's because you have such inconsistent thinking patterns, i.e., you think like Christ for a month or so and you're locked in, and all of a sudden now you start thinking like your old carnal mind, your old self. You start being influenced by the enemy or people around you. And all of a sudden now that leads you to have an inconsistent lifestyle. See, just trace your tracks. Whenever you think like Christ, your lifestyle always lined up with the Word. Somebody say, I know that's right. Now, just the moment that you stop thinking wrong or thinking right, that is the moment that you start acting wrong. Oh, come on. I ain't getting but one hallelujah and one amen. Come on, say something to me, lights. Because you know that's true. So, inconsistent lifestyle is a result of inconsistent thinking. If my thinking is consistent with Christ's mind, my lifestyle will be consistent. There is no inconsistency in Christ. When I look at the book of Hebrews, it says Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. You can track him from yesterday to today to evermore. He will still be the same. Unfortunately, we can't say that about you. Although we are supposed to be the same. Our lifestyle is supposed to be consistent. People shouldn't have to look at us and get confused because we live one way for 6 months and the next 6 months we live another way. That's why I wanted to entitle this, How You Think Matters. How you think matters. And you can get frustrated with yourself and get up, beat yourself up. But until you start thinking right, nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. And you can't walk according to your carnal mind. Let me tell you this too. Your victory is determined by how you think and the lifestyle. Your lifestyle is determined by how you think. How you think actually determines your victory and your lifestyle. If you're going to live a lifestyle for Christ, walk in victory, it will be determined by how you think. It is as simple as this. If you think right, you're going to talk right. And if you talk right, you're going to do right. Come on, that's just as simple as that. Flip side of that is, if you think wrong, you're going to talk wrong. And if you talk wrong, you're going to do wrong. Oh, come on. You know, when you start doing wrong, it's because you try. If you just backtrack, you know, when you start doing wrong, it started with you talking wrong. But it also started with you thinking wrong. Because your actions always, or your actions always will precede a thought. Or should I say, your thoughts precede the action. It always comes before that. And the Bible says in Proverbs, and we quote it all the time in Proverbs chapter 23, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. Yeah. So you start thinking on it long enough, you're going to start talking about it. And if you start talking about it, you're going to act on it. And even if you don't talk out loud, you're talking in your mind. Oh, come on, believers. You don't just show up and do it. You've been meditating on that thing. And we wonder why we're right back in that or doing that again. And we can't walk in victory. And I want to just serve notice on you. It's time to get this thing right. How you think matters. If you want to walk in victory, if you want to be all that God wants you to be, if you want to complete the kingdom assignment that God has for your life, you got to get your mind together. It's time to think right now. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We gotta stop talking carnal, thinking carnal. Come on. Nothing good comes out of the carnal mind. Paul told us nothing good dwells in your flesh. You're an ugly person when you get in your flesh. Come on, somebody. I don't care how much you got it going on the outside. I don't care how much you got it going on, my brother, on the outside. When you get in the flesh, you look ugly. Nothing good comes out of the flesh. You cannot get victory in the flesh. Come on, somebody. When Peter rose up, it was the devil that rose up in him, and he said, far be it from you, Jesus, that you should go to the cross. What did Jesus say? No. You in the flesh now, Peter. What did he say? Get behind me, devil. Come on, nothing good comes out of the flesh. And that's just, I can go a little bit deeper there. It can say that you can be right in church and still operating in your flesh. And some of y'all been coming to church and you're still operating in your flesh and expect that you're going to get some awesome result. You're not going to happen. Oh, we got the building. Oh, we doing it. Yeah, we doing it, but what about you? If you don't change your habit, you just be a member in a church walking in defeat. I know that's heavy. But God just put that thing in my spirit. Believers, it is time to walk in victory. You can't do the Acts 2 model that we've been talking about. How are you going to evangelize to somebody? You twist them up. Because sometimes you feel like a nut and sometimes you don't. Folk can't deal with that. They need some consistency. And you're going to be out there trying to evangelize and you locked in for 6 months. And the next 6 months you're like, is that you? Oh, what happened? And you can't say a word. Evangelize, connect, teach, reproduce. I think this word is important because we can't be reproducing stuff like that. The Bible even says a double-minded man, we don't want to reproduce you. You ain't ready yet. Heckle and Jekyll. Victory is determined by how we think. It's determined by how we think. Can I just share, I just want to share 5 points with you on how we can live consistent, a consistent Christ-like lifestyle. Walk in victory. Keeping our mind renewed. Because when we think about, it sounds so simple, keep my mind renewed. It's more than just simply knowing the Word of God. It's more than just simply quoting a scripture. Let this mind be in you. Because if that was it, all of us would be walking like that. But it takes more than that. There's some intentionality that goes along with that. You got to intentionally say, I'm going to keep my mind renewed. Because if you don't, the world will renew your mind. It'll renew your mind without you giving it permission. Number one, these are some things you need to do. Keep your mind renewed. This will cause you to live a Christ-like lifestyle, walk in victory, fulfill the Acts 2 promise, lead your family, particularly as men, and I want to emphasize that, particularly as men, lead your family in biblical standards, and mothers, you nurture your children with biblical standards according to the scriptures. And singles, yes, you can live in victory. Well, you ain't always got to get a honey and you ain't always got to get another boo. That you're secure in your own self. That if the honey doesn't show up, my brother, you still good. And if another boo doesn't come on, you still good. I can't make it without another boo. The devil is a liar. You say the reason why you can't is because that's what you're speaking. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In whatever state I find myself in, I have learned to say I am content. Doesn't mean you're going to stay there for the rest of your life and live single for nothing. It just says, while I'm here, I'm not going to try to make something happen because I've been trying to do that for the last 5 years. And every time I turn around, I get the wrong kind of boo. Come on. Come on, you should have had a V8. What you're doing is not doing it according to the scripture. It's walking in a carnal mind. And some of y'all, you see all of this stuff on TV. You hang around all your girlfriends and they talking like that. Baby, I can't do what you do. I just got to have some wall thighs beside me. Need no warm thighs beside you. You need to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Can I say this? This is just on the side. Some of y'all, if you let God do it, he has the Boaz already laid aside, but he ain't going to send no Boaz to you because you all jacked up. And you looking for him. He said, stop looking. The Bible said, when a man finds a just go in your corner, handle your business by yourself, take care of God's business, and he'll send it. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen our heart. Wait, I said, on the Lord. That's on the side. Number one. we're going to keep our mind renewed. How are we going to do it? Number one, commit to spending time in the presence of the Lord daily. These are things that we are going to have to do. How are you going to live a victorious life this year? How is your life going to be different than it was last year? How are you going to do the kingdom's agenda? How are you going to stay away from fleshly pitfalls? Because you know the enemy, he's going to keep crawling at you. He's going to keep coming. He's going about as a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. That's why he keeps coming to your house. Because you keep the door open. And you keep the light on. This year, we got to change some things. You got time now. You're only in the second month of the year. And God wants to give you a wake-up call. You can't get there like this. Commit to spending time in the presence of the Lord. Here's David, and we can say whatever we want about David. Yeah, we know about David's life, and we know that David committed adultery with Bathsheba, had her husband Uriah killed. Yeah, after all of that is said and done, we ain't going to go into your business, but after all of that is said and done, he still had a heart for God. He still had a, in Psalm 63, I looked it up, it says, David said, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longs for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. He says, I need you, God. What would happen, saints, if we would just get a heart to spend time in the presence of the Lord daily? Cut the TV off. Stop looking at that crazy stuff. Hanging around folk that don't mean you no good. We would just say, I want more of God. Commit to spending time. I guarantee you won't walk in the flesh. It's hard to walk in the flesh when you get in the spirit. Because I found out something. If I was in the flesh and I go in the presence of the Lord, he will show me myself. And the truth of the matter is, when he shows me myself, my God, it don't always look pretty, but I'm willing to deal with it. Create in me, God, a clean heart. Renew the right spirit. It is me, it is me, O Lord, that's standing in a need of prayer. Let's spend time in the presence of the Lord. Because it's something about David. He understood the importance of spending time. Do you not understand this? David understood that his very survival and his victory would come from him spending time in the presence of God. You cannot walk in the flesh and in the spirit at the same time. Get in the presence of the Lord and watch. You're going to cease walking in the flesh because after a while, you won't have a desire to do fleshly things. See, people that spend time in the presence of the Lord, it's hard to sin. I said it. It's true. It's hard to sin when you spend time in the presence of the Lord. It's hard to cross certain lines when you spend time in the presence of the Lord because you love him so much. You have such a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit until you say, I just can't do it. Have you ever said in your mind, boy, I still want to do it, but then I can't do it. I'm fuming on the inside, but I still can't do it. I want to say something about it. It's like my mouth get all twisted. Shut up. I made up my mind. I'm going to talk. It's hard to sin when you're in the presence of the Lord. And you made up your mind before you left home. I'm going to tell them off. I'm going to get on that job and I'm tired. I ain't nobody's walking, Matt. And then you get there and you're like, how you doing? Go right back to your seat, sit down and pray. And that's a great thing because it tells you that this is the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, but took upon him the form of a servant, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, whereby God has highly exalted him. In other words, he could have showed off. He could have flexed his muscles, but he was so in tune with the Father, God manifested in the flesh, he wouldn't step out of character. When you walk in the presence of God daily, it keeps your mind renewed. That's step one. Step two, Commit to reading and meditating on the Word of God daily. Commit to reading and meditating on the Word of God daily. Everybody say daily. Daily. You know, that reminded me of Psalms 1. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the seat of the scornful, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in this law does he what? Meditate both day and night. And he shall be like a what? Tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in season, and his leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. What happens when you meditate on the Word of God daily? When I say meditate just doesn't simply mean that you're just sitting there and just, oh, that's a nice word. Meditate and also implies that you apply what you have read. I meditate on the Word daily. The Word renews my mind. And as a result, guess what? At least three things happen out of Psalms 1. One, you live holy. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. He lives holy. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in this law does he meditate both day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He grows spiritually. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper, and he prospers in whatever he does. I'm renewing my mind. See, your blessings is not outside. Your blessings is on the inside. When I renew my mind, I walk according to the will of God. I live holy, I grow spiritually, and I prosper. Oh, that's enough right there. That's enough right there. You can leave now. I live holy, I grow spiritually, and I prosper. Just by meditating on the Word of God daily. Wonder what you would do if you would commit to meditating and reading your Word daily instead of just running out the house, not armed with any word, and then try to deal with them devils on the outside. And you wonder why you end up cussing too. Oh, I'm going to deal with that a little bit because I, Oh, you thinking all twisted because you are not meditating on the Word of God. I can't survive. Now, how do you live a spiritual life without doing spiritual things? Can somebody talk back to me on that? That's the $100 question today. How do you live a spiritual life and not do spiritual things? We want to live a spiritual life doing carnal things, and then we want spiritual results. It doesn't happen. You're going to get carnal results because you're doing carnal things trying to live a spiritual life. Oh. All I want to do is hit you so hard today where it wakes you up and say, man, I'm not going to live like that. God wants me to come up higher. That's what this is intended for. It's intended to bring you up high because it's one thing to get this plaza. It's another thing to do what God has called us to do in the plaza. And you cannot do it in the plaza if you're in the flesh. Everybody's got to understand, you got to get in the spirit now. Everything we're going to do for God is in the spirit. If we're going to see supernatural things happen, it's in the spirit. If we're going to see miracles take place, it's in the spirit. Come on, somebody. Healing going to take place, it's in the spirit. None of this is in the flesh. One can do something, but the multitudes can always do more. Imagine when all of us have the mind of Christ and we've said to ourselves, you know what? We're not going to think like that. We're going to think like Christ. What would happen? Imagine what would happen in your own house if you started thinking like Christ. You would affect change in your house. The reason why stuff goes on in your house is because you're not thinking right. And you're letting what's on the outside dictate what you say on the inside. Number three, which leads us to number three. Commit to saying only what God says. Tell your neighbor, say what God says. If it's not according to Scripture, if it doesn't agree with Scripture, it just simply says you don't say it. You don't say it. Commit to saying only what God says. This is how you keep your mind renewed. I'm going to say what God says. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 2 says, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Nobody snared you but yourself. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. You can't put that on anybody else but you. You said that. You let it slip off of your tongue. You opened your mouth and said what God told you not to say. But this year, we got to make a commitment. We're going to say what God says. Oh, man. Oh, Lord, why did I say that? I didn't mean to say. Yes, you did. I wasn't thinking. Yes, you were. This year, we got to say what God says. How many times last year did we say something that wasn't according to Scripture? You spoke out of frustration. You spoke out of doubt. You spoke fear out of your mouth. You spoke out of anger, and it snared you. Snared you. Let me tell you something. This is what we as believers have to understand. If you really knew who God is in your life, you would understand the power of your words. The Bible says in 18th chapter of Proverbs, it says, death and life is in the power of the tongue. Did you get that? You got death and life in the power of your tongue. You got to understand your words will create your world around you. It will create your world around you. If you come in your house and say, I'm so frustrated, it is never going to change. I'm tired of these crazy kids. The husband, I tell you, I could just kick him out the door. You are creating your world around you. Guess what? You're going to be frustrated. Your kids going to continue to act crazy. Your husband's going to continue to be jacked up because you are speaking it out of your mouth. You are snared by the words of your mouth. Believers, this year, you got to watch what you say. Jesus didn't speak unless he meant. Unless he meant it, unless he wanted to do something. Because he understood when I say something, all heaven moves. The Holy Ghost moves. You got to see yourself like that. You got to be very careful with what you say. Because you know if you say it, it's going to happen. Because you create the world around you. That's the kind of power that he has invested in you. That's the authority that you have. If you ask anything in my name, he said, I'll do it. Do you really want me to do that? And when you say it, it's too late to bring it back. You told me. You spoke it out of your mouth. Mark 11 and 22 says, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said, which means if you say it, you're going to have it. That's the authority that God has given us. So the only thing you need to say is you got to say what God says. If you say something in the flesh, you're going to have that too. I'm just going to be like this always. Tired of just, I ain't going to never get nowhere. How can I get somewhere? Look at me. I ain't worth much anyway. My mama didn't do much. What makes me think I'm going to get anything? You are creating your world. You are setting yourself up for failure. You are not doing what God's best for your life. Have what you say. Have what you say. Remember that. The next time, before you open your mouth, remember who you are. The authority that you have and say, I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say that. You invite the devil in when you speak out of your flesh, and then you want to turn around and cut him out. Uninvite him. Get out. He said, you just invited me. You were operating in the flesh. Make up your mind. He talks back to you. You want me in or you want me out? You shall have whatsoever you say. That's why you got to be very careful about your temperament and what you say. Now, all of us have been guilty where we flew off the handle and we said something. Come on, let's just be honest. Can we just be real right now? But we're going to say we're not going to do it in 2013. But all of us have to be real. You flew off the handle and you said, Lord God. And you know it was wrong because you felt all convicted. Took you 2 weeks to get over that. And God is saying this year, no. No, you're going to keep your mind renewed. And this time, I'm going to say what God says. And if I can't say what God says, I'm going to keep my mouth shut. And I'm going to get my thoughts together until I can say what God says. Somebody talk back to me. I'm helping somebody right now. Oh, come on. Come on, somebody. Because the big problem in the church is we open our mouth and we run our mouth too much. And we're not saying what God says. You shall have whatsoever you say. What we want to do this year, we want to create the world that God wants us to have. If God says we can be prosperous, we're going to speak it. We're going to speak it. The doctor say you're sick. The Bible says, whose report will you believe? His report say I'm healed. His report says I'm delivered. His report say I'm set free. You see, I'm going to say what God says. What upsets God is when we don't say what he says. The man with the epileptic son, he says, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. He says, if you can do anything, he says, all things are possible to them that believe. God is just looking for somebody that will say what he said. So shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please and prosper in the things whereto I send it. God just said, I just want somebody to say what I say. And believe when you say it that I'm going to back it up and do it. What do you want your world to be like? I want my kids to say, well, God, I thank you, God, that every one of my kids are going to be saved. That, yeah, my son's coming off the, come on, he's coming off of drugs. My daughter's coming off the corner. My husband's going to give his life to you. Come on, say what he says. This ain't crazy. This ain't no pie in the sky. This is faith 101. You shall have, I'm in the Bible. Because the Bible says, you shall have what you say. And I'm crazy enough to believe the word of God. I believe death and life is in the power of the tongue. So anything that I don't want that's in conflict with his word, I'm going to curse it to the root. Whatever God says I can have, I'm going to speak blessings to it. I'm going to be blessed in the city. I'm going to be blessed in the field. I'm going to be blessed coming in. I'm going to be blessed going out. Create that thing. Speak it over your life. I know what the doctor said, but by his stripes I am healed. I don't have much. My God shall supply all of my needs. Tell your neighbor, say what God says. I'm going to say what God says. The reason why we're here and a few days away from going to closing is because I refused to say what I wanted to say and what I felt. I said what God said. He said this belongs to New Life Christian Center. That's why we walked around and we declare this property is coming into our hands. We said what God said. Every place that the soles of our feet walk on, God, you said you've given it to us. How many times did I drive up on this plaza and say, God, you said this is coming to us. God, I want to see you do it. I said what God says. We said what God says. Look at what God is doing. And if God will do this, he'll do that. If God will turn it around for us as a corporate body, he'll turn it around for your household. Oh, come on, somebody. If he'll work it out and give us financing from the owner, he'll work it out and give you financing too. When I told the banker, he said, how you get your financing? I looked at him, I said, we ain't have no bank. He said, how you get it? I said, the owner's financing. He says, he is. He says, what's your rate? I said, he's giving us 3%. He says, I'm just going to be honest and we got to tell the truth. Man, you can't get that nowhere else. That's a good deal. He said, I'm going to just tell you the truth. That's a good deal. Thank you. That's a God deal. That's a God deal. That's a God deal. Ah, Shabbatah. Say what God said. Hey! When the enemy rushes in like a flood, what are we going to say? No weapon formed against us shall prosper. When it comes up in your house, you got to say, get out of here in the name of Jesus. God, I feel that. I feel that. I shout to Robo, say, hey. Yes. Somebody got to go home and start speaking something right now. Somebody got to get up and just start speaking it over your life. I declare my household is going to be right. The crooked is going to be made straight. Rosheba da ba 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 sha. Woo! Glory. Mando roba shehe. Yes, God. Yes, God. Woo! Yes. The devil thought it had me, but I got away. Yes. I feel like David. I had fainted had I not believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord and be of good care. He shall strengthen your heart. I'm going to say what God says. I was young, but now I'm old. Never have I seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. In other words, God's going to supply all of my needs. Say what God says. Say what God said. Let me give you these last two and I'm going to let you get out of here. Number four. Oh, cow biting day. Bo, 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 sha. Oh, God. We're going to speak ourselves right on into victory. We're going to just speak ourselves right on out of that pit. We're coming up out of there because we're going to speak ourselves out of there. We're going to sign that word to do what the word says it will do. Not this year. There's too much invested in me for me to be snared with the words of my mouth. I've got to use this vessel to speak life. I got to use this vessel to speak the word of God. Because I understand when I open my mouth, something's going to happen. Yeah, yeah. So I just can't use this. Because you got to see yourself. I'm too powerful to just. You don't really want me to say anything unless you mean it. Because if I open my mouth, oh, God. See, that's the kind of authority we got to walk in. If I open my mouth, you better back up because you don't want me to open my mouth. Are you serious? Because if I say it, oh, Kato Bershe, it'll happen. It'll happen. I walk to the fig tree and say, you will not bear fruit anymore. I'll curse it to the root. That's why you got to be careful. You. See, that's the authority we got to walk in there, believer. You got to see yourself. If I open up, that's why I can only use it for the righteousness sake. Because I know if I use it wrong, something else will happen. Because some of y'all done created some stuff that you know that was by your doing because you opened your mouth. And the same way, if you can create it negative, you can create some positive things. Can I give you this and then I'm going to get the last two? If you talked yourself in it,
You can talk yourself out. Oh, God. I know you messed up last year and you talked yourself, but come on now, talk yourself out of it now. I'm coming up out of here. Glory, glory, glory. Oh, yes, Babosha. Morabande Babosha. Yeah, I know I made some mistakes. I know I slipped up and I talked myself into something, but I'm going to talk myself right on. Who am I preaching to right now? You know you talked yourself into something, but talk yourself out now. Yeah! Hey. My God. Oh, glory. And the enemy want to make you feel like, my God, you're going to stay there. But just talk yourself out and say, weeping may endure for a night, but joy. 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 It's coming in the morning. Somebody say, yeah. Say, yeah. Say, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to talk myself right on out. My God, I got to give you these last two, but I tell you, I feel the Holy Ghost pushing me right now. I'm going to talk myself out of this thing. Yeah, he thought he had me, but I'm coming up out of here. I'm going to declare the word of the Lord. Yeah! Oh, Rabbi Chehe. Somebody give him praise. Oh, God. Come on, Amber, talk yourself out of it. Talk yourself right into your blessing. Yeah. 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 Jesus. Glory. 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 Go to Moshe. Last two saints, and I got to get out of here. I'm over time now. But the last Shabbat day, Bobo Shemende. Come on, Elder Parker, you got to talk yourself out of there. Yeah, yeah, we're going to talk ourselves right on out of there. We're coming up out of there, baby. Yeah, no, Bobo Shemende. Yes. Our family members are going to be saved. Our children are going to be saved. Nieces and nephews are going to be saved. We're going to talk it out. We're going to talk them into the kingdom. Our daughters are going to be saved. Our sons are going to be saved. Our nephews are going to be saved. Our nieces are going to be saved. Our grandkids are going to be saved. Yeah! Oh, you're double saved. Rubba-bubba-dubba-dubba-shatande. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, Lord. Go, God, I'm on Sunday. God, I'm on Sunday. It's got to happen. It's got to happen. It's got to happen. We waited long enough. It's got to happen. Get on Sunday, I'm on Sunday. We prayed long enough. It's got to happen. Our sons and our daughters, they gotta know you. We speak it into existence. Yeah! Hey! Oh, you have no more shame. Last two. Commit to stand around people that sharpen and encourage you spiritually. This year. I want you to develop a strong circle of friends that speaks into your life and encourage you when you need spiritual encouragement. Yeah. This year, commit to stand around people that sharpen and encourage you spiritually. This year, you got to give a strong circle of friends that speaks life to you. Speaks life to you. And it's reciprocal. It's going to work both ways. And you encourage them and they encourage you spiritually. And on the flip side of that, you got to also stay away from people that tempt you to compromise and walk contrary to the Bible. Oh, I'm talking to somebody right now. You know when you go around them, you struggle in your flesh. You know when you go around them, you are not better, you're bitter. You know when you go around them, you're not feeling spiritual, you're feeling sexy. Okay. Don't play me. Somebody know exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah. But this year, we're going to stay around people that's shopping us. I can't be around dull people this year. I've done that for the last 3, 4, 5 years. This year, somebody say this year. This year, I got to be around people that's shopping me. You know, iron sharpens iron. That's what the Bible says. I got to be around people that motivate me, that encourage me. Yeah. When I'm down, I need somebody to pick me up and speak life to me. If I'm going through something, I need you to say, you can make it. I need some sharpeners around me this year. Come on, some of y'all last year, you had too many dull people around you. They didn't sharpen you. Oh, yeah. You had too many subtractors around you. They sucked everything out of you. They subtracted. You got to be around folk that add to you this year. Your destiny depends on it. Yeah. And for some of you, it's going to be tough, but you're going to just have to make a clean break. Say, I ain't trying to be brand new. I ain't better than you. But you know what? I can't stay here no more. I can't stay here no more. Because if I stay here, I'm going to die. I'm going to keep walking in defeat. I'm tired. You say you can't do no better. I believe I can do better. You say it ain't going to get better. I believe it is going to get better. I can't stay here any longer. Let your neighbor say, get around somebody that sharpens you. Yeah. Final one, because I got to get you out of here. Final one. Commit to guarding your mind. This is something you got to do. Tell your neighbor, you got to do this. Yeah. What I mean by guarding your mind? Guarding your mind starts with being the gatekeeper of your eyes and your ears. This is how Job said it in chapter 31. He said, I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maiden? He said, I became the gatekeeper of my eyes and my ears. I got to guard this. See, renewing your mind, the process of renewing your mind is about you taking responsibility as being your own gatekeeper of your eyes and your ears. See, because I can say whatever I want to say in church. I'm not around you 24/7. Yeah. And you know what you gaze on. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. There's a God up above looking down. So be careful. Mm-hmm. So you got to be a gatekeeper this year. No more peeping Toms and computers in the corner that nobody knows about. And come on, somebody. Laptops that you only got the password for and nobody else can get it because you are. My God, I'm talking to somebody. Oh, shit, Tobin Day. I'm talking to somebody right now. It also means that you can't watch everything on TV, even if it's the most popular TV show. Nor can you go to the latest movie if it's filled with inappropriate language and sexual content that arouses every bone in your body. Oh, somebody better talk back to me. You go in there one way and you come out another way. Where you going, girl? Out. All messed up. And the brother tried to hold it together, but he knows. You all messed up. You all messed up. Because you're in the wrong place at the wrong time looking at the wrong thing. Because everything that the world puts out there, it ain't for us to see. Now, I can't tell you what to look at, but I can give you word. If it's going to corrupt your spirit, pollute your soul, you can't watch it. Because you the gatekeeper. Tell your neighbor, you be the gatekeeper. You be the gatekeeper. You got to be the gatekeeper. Gatekeeper of your ears. Which means I can't listen to all kind of music. I can't listen to music that doesn't edify my spirit. And I'm not going to break down if you don't just listen to gospel, you go to hell. I'm not saying that. Because the truth of the matter is, some gospel is like, well, that's gospel. Oh, come on, somebody. Some of that makes your flesh like, oh, that's a gospel song. It is. We put gospel labels on everything now. It's got to edify your spirit. Got to edify your spirit. And also, you got to guard yourself, your ears, with conversations that's unhealthy to your spirit. Oh, come on, come on, come on, come on. Conversation that you know, it ain't healthy for you. It ain't edifying. And you leave just all messed up. See, what I found out, it's far easier to prevent the negative from coming in than to get it out. When it gets in, oh boy, it's a tussle getting that stuff out sometimes. You know, you ever saw something and it just, after a while, you went to bed and you're like, man, loose here. Get out. Get out. You come on. See, the believer ain't going to be honest. You know you done looked at something, you're like, Lord God. And you took you 3 weeks to get it out. That's why you got to be selective on what you hear and what you look at. So I sometimes when I'm flipping through the channel, I put it on mute. Because you know when you're flipping through, sometimes you end up with something like, what the heck is that? And then subliminal messages come and stuff you hear, and then you're like, I didn't ask for that. So I had to get smarter, like, okay, I'll flip it, but I'll mute you. You ain't going to mess me up. You ain't going to mess me up. Because I want my spirit to be sensitive. So when the Holy Spirit speaks to me, you know, I can hear him clearly. See, some of y'all got too much clutter in the locker room there. And, you know, you can hear, but it's like, God is speaking. God is speaking. I want you. Who wants to go through all of that to hear God? That's what happens. That's what the enemy wants. Guard your ears. God, your eyes. Come on, let's stand. I'm way over time.